We're continuing our study of Revelation, the book of the Revelation, and it seems to me that this day, being the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, and Thursday being our expression of appreciation to veterans, seems that it goes, both of those go right together, and they seem to fit very well with this text in Revelation chapter 15. Revelation chapter 15, it's one of the it's the shortest chapter in the book of the Revelation, so you have something to smile about right now. It's 8 verses. That means we'll be through it in 45 minutes. So, but the truth of the matter is, as we always struggle, don't we, in Revelation, because God, the Creator, transcends time, and we are so thoroughly bound by time. We always want a calendar. We always want to know what do we have on our... Well, we used to wear wristwatches before our telephones started telling us the time, right? And so now we always keep track of the time. Well, this passage is a little like some of the previous chapters in that it's not talking about a sequence even, or it's not certainly not chronological, but it's presenting some things that are going to happen. And as we've come to know, when God has spoken it, it's done. It's the same as being done. It cannot be different because the Lord has spoken, as is in the Bible several times. And that's what it means, is it's going to be done. And to the eternal one, there is only now. Only now for the eternal one. And for those of us who are mortals, we kind of struggle with that concept. So when we're reading 15, it's talking about something that's going to happen in our future yet, of course, but also sort of an encapsulation of things. Let me share it. Some of you are good students of the Bible, and you know Genesis. And if you read the first few chapters of Genesis, it talks about the creation, and it's very specific about the days, but there are also some times when it goes back later and says, well, that was sort of a summary. Let me tell you some details, right? And so this is what's going to happen from here on through Revelation. Chapter 15 is sort of giving some summary. It's going to summarize how God's wrath is going to be visited upon this earth and upon those who have rejected Him. And so it's a great time of warning. And let's begin in chapter 15, and verse 1. I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, 7 angels having the 7 last plagues, four in them, has filled up the wrath of God. You might want to note that, filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened, and the 7 angels came out of the temple, having the 7 plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the 4 beasts gave unto the 7 angels 7 golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the 7 plagues of the 7 angels were fulfilled. Let's pray together. Our Father, we come with our praise indeed. You alone are worthy of all praise. And we thank you, Lord, for your word, that your word stands for eternity. We're grateful for your Holy Spirit. And as he moves among us and illuminates and magnifies this word that we might better understand, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for caring enough for us that you've written these words of love, these words of warning. Now, Lord, help us to be instructed by them. For for we pray in the name of our Savior Christ. Amen. So I mentioned that for in them is filled up the wrath of God. In verse 1, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is it contains the phrase, "It is finished." Jesus Christ is on the cross, and he's saying everything that is required to appease an angry God, as it might be said, to fulfill the righteousness required of a righteous God, I have fulfilled every bit of it. And so that phrase there is the same one, filled up. Interesting, isn't it? Filled up comes from the same mindset there, that the wrath that was bestowed upon and revealed on the body of Jesus Christ on the cross is what is coming. So I want you to understand, this is what is happening, and it's a very confusing chapter. If you sit back and think about it for just a little bit, you'll see why chapter 15 is so important to us, because it is a prelude, of course, to the seven bowls, seven vials, your translation may say bowls, of judgment. And that is the wrath of God, the wrath of God. Now, the other things that we've seen, some of those things were inflicted by men. Some of those things were, quote, natural, those other plagues and those other. Remember the four horsemen of the apocalypse we talked about? And the first six seals, we saw that about a quarter to a third of the people of the world would have already died. So we're talking about some pretty stuff happening, pretty serious stuff happening already. But now we're looking at something that God wants us to be very clear about. This is just about my wrath upon the sin of the world. Okay? And so it's a very serious time. And yet we're going to celebrate in here in just a moment. I saw another sign in heaven. That phrase comes as a reminder that there was another sign. That great wonder in chapter 12. Do you remember in chapter 12 we talked about the woman who was presented as the symbol for Israel, and the child that she bore and brought to us, brought to the world was Jesus Christ, and the dragon, Satan, was seeking to destroy the child. That was that other sign that he saw. We're talking about the judgment, and judgment always comes back around to Christ, because he is the Redeemer. He is the Redeemer. And he will one day be the judge. And he alone has the authority to judge, because he has paid the price of righteousness, and all righteousness and all the covenants of God are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And so when we see what's going on here in chapter 15, we can understand a little bit more how important it is for us that we are committed to the cross of Christ, and we are committed to sharing that gospel with others and living it as disciples. How do we know? We were talking in apologetics this morning. So how do we know what's right, what's true? We were talking about just one degree off in navigational terms. One degree off can mean a huge difference in a couple of hundred miles. You can be completely off track altogether, right? So how do we know? Well, the answer from your friends in the apologetics is, well, you stick with the absolute truth of God's Word. You come back to it. Somebody said daily. You come back to it daily. This is my guide daily. How do I know I'm going the right way? Daily. And if you look in John, we don't have to go there if you don't want to, but John 8, 31, 32, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So you see how important this is, that judgment and the judge, it's always coming back to Christ. And so our relationship with Christ is critical, because I'll be honest with you. I have folks tell me, say, you know, that book of Revelation kind of scares me. I mean, I don't understand. It's kind of confusing. And it's demanding. It's challenging. You have to know a good bit of the book of Daniel and Ezekiel and Zechariah. You have to know basically the other 65 books to understand, to have some hope of understanding Revelation very well at all. But the point is, when I read Revelation, I know there's lots of warning in there, but I'm just thrilled. I am thrilled that I know the judge. And all of my sin has already been judged forever. And he took everything on the cross, everything. My sin, your sin, the sin of the entire world, it is finished, he said, paid in full. And there it is, a free gift of eternity by trusting that he is who he says he is, by repenting of my sin and following him as a disciple. If you continue in my word daily, as our class in apologetics, it's got to be daily. Why? Because we tend to not follow by nature God's instruction. I look at you and I think you're related to Adam and Eve. I see some of it in your faces there. I think all of you are related to Adam and Eve. And if we don't follow God's instruction, we're going to wind up the same way they did, right? So let us not be guilty of rebellion against God. So that's that other sign is that whole chapter 12 talking about the battle between Christ and Satan and good and evil. And in verse 2 of chapter 15, I saw a sea of glass. Now, the glassy sea mingled with fire. Why is it? When you see a glassy sea in Revelation, often the seas, remember we talked about the beast coming out of the sea? And that was what? It represented people. The sea represents people and nations. And so when we see a glassy sea here mingled with fire, that is the persecuted people. Now, listen to me carefully. People talk about, well, I don't want to be here for the tribulation, because if you trust, if you don't take the mark of the beast, you're going to get beheaded. And if you trust Christ and follow him, you're going to die. And all that's true, but listen to me carefully. Nobody, listen, this, you know this from history, but nobody is going to be treated well by the tyrant, the Antichrist. Do you get that? I mean, think about all the tyrants you've known throughout history or read about. Hitler, who was he nice to, right? Stalin, I mean, go down the list. Mao. Millions upon millions of people have been murdered, but the rest of the people were enslaved by those people, right? That's what tyrants do. That's how they become tyrants. And so they say, okay, it's persecuted people. Everybody on the planet is going to be either enslaved or martyred or protected by God from the Antichrist, from his effort to martyr the people. And so we'll have more to talk about the nature of the judgments in just a little while. But these persecuted people are all people. And then we have victorious believers. Look what it says there. It says, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast. How did they get the victory over the beast? For some of them, it meant that they lost their heads, because they said, I will not betray Christ. I've been blind up to now, but I trust him completely, and if you have to kill me over that, let's get to it. And I believe they're that bold. I believe they're just as bold as we are if we're Saturday at our game cheering for our football team, right? I believe those people, having recognized, this is my understanding. You may have a different understanding, and we could talk about it from the Bible sometime if you'd like to. My understanding is there's this event called the rapture. And those who are in Christ at that time are raptured out of this. Christ comes for the ones he calls his bride, the bride of Christ. And they leave this world, and that is a sign for the beginning of the tribulation. Now, is it going to be 3 weeks later or a month? Or I have no idea. But it won't be long. I'm sure of that. Because we have this situation where we don't believe in letting crises go to waste, right? Never let a good crisis go to waste. You may have heard somebody say that, right? So we have these folks who follow up on that and say, well, we've got millions of people who in the same instant all over the world, millions of people just kind of disappeared. Do you think that's going to cause a crisis of any kind? I think so. I think so. And so the people that are remaining, that are in governmental positions, are going to have to be saying, well, calm down. This is what happened. And they're going to try to be explaining these things, right? And so they're not going to succeed. The world's going to get worse and worse and worse. Far worse than it is now. Can you imagine? Far worse than it is now. And so when that occurs, there's going to be reasons for people to be saying, I recognize now that what that old crazy preacher was trying to get me to see back in the day was true. Jesus Christ is, in fact, who he says he is, the Redeemer, the Creator, the Savior, right? And so when that happens, people are going to say, I don't care what happens to me now, because at most I've got about 7 years right here. So come on with it. I'll trade 7 years for eternity right now, wouldn't you? I hope so. That's the best deal you'll ever get. All right? And so here they are, victorious over the beast and over his image and over his mark. In other words, they did not take his number. And sometimes people say, well, can you kind of accidentally stumble into that thing? Can you accidentally take the mark accidentally? Nobody. In my opinion, nobody will ever take the mark accidentally. Not that mark. Now it's not going to be a big tattoo that says 666 across your forehead or something like that. I think it's going to be something functional in your hand. It'll have an account of everything that you receive from whatever source. Why is it that the IRS is just trying to push us to report every $600 check? Well, you know what it is. It's tighter and tighter controls, isn't it? Right? And so governments all over the world. Did you know, by the way, in Australia, you can go into some banks in Australia. I promise you this is true. I read this in a reliable business magazine a couple of years ago now. There are no cash. There's no cash available. I'm talking about a bank doesn't have any cash. Because everything they do is what? Electronic transfer. Now, how many of us are engaged in that already? How many of you have direct deposit? Most of us have direct deposit of some kind, don't we? Most of us get online and say, well, I'm going to pay my bill now. And there it goes. It's scheduled to go out of my account to go to the utility company or whatever, right? And that's how we do a lot of business. So you see, the world is, we're moving in that direction very quickly, much more quickly than we might realize. And so this mark is something that you'll have to have to survive. You can't walk in and say, at the Piggly Wiggly and say, here's my cash, I want to buy a loaf of bread and some peanut butter. No, can't do that. We have to see, you have to wave your hand so we can read what is on, that's where the mark will be. Okay? And I don't believe God is not the author of confusion. And I don't believe that anybody that is here in the tribulation will ever just say, oh, I didn't realize. I didn't realize. And I'll tell you furthermore about that in just a little bit. So they said, we will not take your mark. We will not submit to you in any way. Listen to me carefully. We will not submit to you in any way. Governments around the world are cracking down. They're cracking down because of a virus. But listen to me carefully. As I told you last year, they're going to crack down about climate change. And they're going to demand certain things about because of the crisis that we have with climate change. Now, write it down, put the date if you want to, and say, crazy old man Tim, right? I'm just sharing this with you. They're going to go there. They're on their way now. And so if governments tend to want people to submit to their authority. And it doesn't matter. And that's what was so, it is so wonderful about living in a republic where we get to elect people like John Kemp as our representative, or the governor or whomever it is. We get to elect, right? So there's our servants. Well, governments don't really see themselves as our servants, okay? Think about it. They don't really see themselves as our servants. So the problem is there in verse 2 is that they've got people who are so in love with Christ that nothing scares them. What, are you going to kill me? Send me to heaven? Okay, go ahead. Isn't that what we ought to be thinking? Right? I mean, please understand. I believe in government. I'm retired from the Army. How much more compliant do you get than being in the military, right? I'm just sharing with you that what is right is right. And you stand for what is right no matter the consequence. Listen, you stand for what is right no matter what the consequence. Okay? That's the way we live as Christians, okay? So these are victorious believers. And I said something about how is it that God is not concerned about anybody not having an excuse. Well, I'm going to go to Matthew 24 for just a moment. You can join me there if you'd like to, because you might want to mark it, because this is one of those passages, one of those verses you've heard many, many times. And I believe we have an understanding of it now. In Matthew 24, verse 12, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And listen, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations." Now, did you catch that? And then what happens? "Then shall the end come." Now, I know that there have been ministries and people have said, well, we need to go out and preach the gospel. That's absolutely true. You can just end that statement right there. We need to be out there testifying to people and witnessing for our Lord and giving them the opportunity to respond to Christ and His Holy Spirit so that they come to salvation. No doubt about that. But it's not about us bringing the gospel around the world to all nations. Now, we ought to do the best we can to share it. We participate in international missions and these things. We just talked about Operation Orange Ribbon, which is international. We do others that are international. I'm just sharing with you. We do these things. We do these things at home. But the gospel being preached to all nations, God did not leave to us only. Do you remember in the chapter just before this? In chapter 14, Revelation 14, verse 6, "I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come." Does that sound like everybody in the world has had one more chance? Everybody. And Paul wrote to the church in Rome, "Oh man, you are without excuse." See, Peter wrote, "God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to salvation," right? It is not God's desire for anyone to die. It's His desire that we be righteous. And the only way that we can be righteous is by trusting Christ and becoming that new creature in Christ that He wrote to the Corinthians about. All things are passed away. All things are become new. And so if you're thinking, well, am I a new creature in Christ? I don't know. Have old things passed away? Have you repented of those things that were the truth of your life before? And now there's a new life in Christ? And all things have become new? I don't know any other way to test it, to be honest with you, if you're not certain of that. So we see this as a great warning that there is judgment coming. And here it is. It says, verse 3, "They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God." Now, where did the song of Moses come from? It came from Exodus. Exodus, when? Right after the crossing of the Red Sea. Isn't that wonderful? They had this great party on the right side of the sea. What was happening behind them? The entire army of Pharaoh was drowning. Do you hear what I'm saying? The song of Moses, let's celebrate. Let's celebrate victory. And thousands upon thousands of men and who knows how many horses and all these terrible destruction in that sea. Is that what God wanted? It's not what God wanted. Please hear this. How do we know? Because we're told over and over again in the Bible, aren't we? To what? What to our enemies? You know, come on, say it. Love your enemies, right? Love your enemies. Now, how do we celebrate the destruction of these people, but we love our enemies? Because those people are the enemies of God. The only enemy that you have is the enemy of God. How do you know for sure that's the way it is? Let me refer you back again to John 8, 31, 32. If you're being led by the Holy Spirit, guess what? You're going to have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. If you're following in His Word, you're going to know the instructions that He has for your life. And so you're not going to be, you may be disappointed, and you may be disgruntled, and you may be, in fact, angry when you see things. Don't you get angry when you see people abused? That means yes. Please do say you get angry about people being abused, right? Shouldn't we? I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to see animals get abused. Do you? Let alone little children or women or helpless old men like me, you know? I don't want to see people get abused. And I'm going to do the best I can to make a difference in that. Well, how much more do you think God feels that way? And so what I'm trying to share with you is what we need to be sure of by being disciples indeed of Christ is that we don't have any enemies but God's enemies, because they are the ones who identify themselves. Pharaoh's army, they were following Pharaoh. Who is Pharaoh? He's the one that said, "Who is God that I should follow Him? I will not let your people go." Isn't that right? He was making himself God. And I'm sharing this with you because it's very clear that what's happening here, as we sing the song of Moses, the song of the Lamb, "Great and marvelous are thy works." What works are we talking about? These are the works that are about, in our mindset, our frame of reference, about to occur. What is that? The seven vials of God's wrath. Okay, and when we say God's wrath, the only thing that we have a clue about God's wrath is we look at the cross. And if you've seen some movies about that, you probably have just a bare inkling of an idea of the wrath of God. "Who shall not fear thee," it says in verse 4, "O Lord, and glorify thy name, for thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." So this thing that where all nations come before thee and worship thee, that is after the vials, right? This is after the wrath of God. This is during the millennial reign. Again, kind of out of sequence and out of our reference for chronology. "And the seven angels came out of the temple having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, representing their righteousness and purity. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God." And verse 8, it says, "The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled." So nobody's getting into the temple until all the world is judged and the sin, we'll say, it's burned out. You know, I think about the horrible loss of life, because we're talking about billions of people. God's Word doesn't say there's billions of people, but He does give numbers that if we have 7 billion people in this world today, dear friends, most of them, if this was to happen in the next few years, most of them do not know Christ. And please hear this. In recent years, the last 15, 20 years, we've been hearing from more and more people, more and more surveys from people like the Barna Research Group that says that young people more and more are rejecting anything about God. They've got a spiritual mindset about something other than the living God. And so the millennials, I am told, have a single-digit percentage of people who say that they are of the millennial generation who are followers of Christ. Single-digit. I mean, 90% of that generation rejecting Christ. Do you see how important it is that you and I go out and share the gospel? Because God loves those people, but He hates sin, and He will judge sin. Have you read the book that talks about Noah? He will judge sin, and He will judge it again. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You indeed. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your warning. We thank You, Lord, that You are the judge, the righteous judge. And we ask You, Lord, to help us. Help us to commit our lives, our souls, not only to Your safekeeping, but for Your service. Help us to make a commitment to You that makes a difference in this world that You want to see. Help us, Lord, to be disciples indeed. Help us, Lord, to reach out with Your gospel, Your good news, to those who do not know You as Savior. Lord, help us. For those who have religion but not a relationship with You, Lord, help us to reach them. Help us to be close enough to You that we can love them as You do. All these things we pray in the name of our Savior Christ. Amen.